Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tartick, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment, where I tell you a little bit about my guest, an update from the market, and something going on in my personal life. This episode, I'm not kidding you when I tell you, I think it is the most wild episode we have ever had in Trading Secrets with Francesca Farrago. Get ready to be entertained, educated, and I could just tell you this, if it's a slow day, it's about to get electric. And I mean, just literally buckle up. When you least expect it, curveballs are coming your way. I also want to warn everyone, while there's a lot of business, I would say at times, this becomes a PG-13, maybe even dabbles into a little R discussion, but that's okay. That is who Francesca is. She is proud of who she is. She has absolutely crushed it. She has come so far and done so many intelligent, thoughtful career moves to get her to where she is. And you are going to be blown away by the numbers. I'll also say this. I think of any guests we've had, we might have gotten the most numbers out of Francesca than anybody before. So this will be an episode truly, truly you can't afford to miss. Little update. Please go grab a copy of Talk Money to Me. I am in Denver now. What an unbelievable week it has been. We did our Seattle and Denver stop, and I make a joke, but I'm like, listen, we're talking about a book. We are talking about a money book at 6 p.m. and we don't have booze. So we're going to make these tours as fun as we possibly can, given the circumstances. And they've been great. We're playing like really, really fun games. Every show is sold out. We're going to add more spots to each city. So if you want to come, just pay attention to my Instagram. I'm going to be opening up spots. We're going to Austin, Chicago, and Delray this week. Last week was so much fun. We had Peter and Trishel on. We were in Seattle. We did some press with KTLA, the morning show. Colton came on. Micah came on Trading Secrets. We went on the Girls Gotta Eat podcast, Jennifer Hudson's show. We did Scrubbing In podcast and so much more. So it was honestly just unbelievable. Now, one thing that I've been talking about, this is a new study that just came out, is that new home buyers in 2020 versus 2024 have to be making 80% more in 2024 than they were making in 2020, given the change of inflation, interest rates, economic cycles, and the cost of real estate. So you got to take control of your finances, your inflows, your outflows, understanding the importance of making money on your money and how to do it. This book will teach you how to do it if you are single or you are in a relationship, but you have to take control of this. And I've been talking a lot about these examples. Like when we're cooking and we cut ourselves and we know that we have to get stitches or get glued, we have to immediately take care of it. The financial system is built to not create immediate pain points. It is a slow burn that'll impact you over a long time, but it will have significant impact on your lifestyle, your freedom, and the affordability of what you can and can't do. So take control of it. Buy a copy of Talk Money to Me today. And lastly, a little update from my personal life. This week, we are traveling like a maniac. I am living in the airport and hotels, but it has been so fun to connect with everyone. We had all the Love is Blind crew at the Seattle event. So Chelsea was there, Kwame. We also had some Bachelor legends, Justin and Susie. We had Marshall Glaze that was there. It was just such a great time. Micah was there. It was awesome. And then in Denver, we had Giannina, we had Susanna Summers, Bachelor Data, and her boyfriend. We had Ben Higgins, Blake Horseman, and that was such a blast. And then here, going to Austin, we're going to have Katie and Zach there, and then Chris Harrison and Lauren. So if you want to come to the Austin show, let me know. We're going to open up a couple spots for Monday night. Chicago, I got Andrew Spencer and Greg Grippa will be there. And then in Del Rey, I have a big surprise. So that one is coming. But that's a little update from my life. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. Please always remember, go give us 5 stars. Let us know who else you want on. And that second episode a week, it is coming and it is coming soon. The team has already agreed that we are doing it. We just have to find a couple more things. Enough of me. Enough of the book tour. Let's ring in the bell with the one and only Francesca Farago.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by Netflix and reality TV star turned successful influencer, entrepreneur, and business owner, Francesca Farago. Francesca gained notoriety after being tagged as one of the top personalities of Netflix's inaugural season of Too Hot to Handle in 2020. She then continued her run in Netflix reality TV with stints on Love is Blind, After the Altar, and Perfect Match. After her time on TV, Francesca pivoted her career to a business owner after launching her own line of sustainable and environmentally friendly swimwear called Farago The Label. The brand offers swimsuits and bikinis that are not only cruelty-free, but also 100% recyclable and biodegradable. Today, we are going to hear about the ways that reality TV changed her life for the better, maybe for the worse, where the inspiration came from to launch her swimwear brand, and everything in between. Francesca, it has been a wild career track for you, a wild 4 years. Thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
That was an amazing intro, by the way.
Yes, I will take
that. That was lovely. Thank you.
I didn't even get to some of the good stuff. Right? I didn't even talk about Variety's 40 most powerful women on reality TV and your followers and everything else.
You're so gassing me up.
I'm gassing you up. You know, I got to gas you up to get comfortable. We got your dog here in the room. We got Jesse in the room. So guys back home listening, I got Francesca in a good place for a good episode.
Yeah, I'm staring at my cute Pomeranian and my fiance right now. It's amazing.
Life is good. All right. We're going to get into that. So I have a second book coming out. It's called Talk Money to Me. It's all about love and money. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Before we do, you just got named Variety's 40 Most Powerful Women in Reality TV 2023. That list was extensive, deep, and extremely impressive. Hold on to that feeling. Let's roll back to before you even hit reality TV. So now it's 2020, and we know that Too Hot to Handle airs. When did you start filming Too Hot to Handle? What year was that?
Too Hot to Handle was filmed in 2019.
Okay.
So it was filmed in, I believe, April 2019, and then it came out April 2020. And it was supposed to come out earlier in that summer. And then they kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and worked out for me because they ended up pushing it to the beginning of COVID. So everyone was at home doing nothing, watching. So it actually really helped the viewers, because there was everyone to watch the show. Like Ariana Grande watched the show. Justin Bieber was watching. They were all like messaging us. So definitely took the show to another level, it being released during COVID.
Yeah. And you think about how that impacts all your business and future financial success, because there are so many eyeballs on there.
Yeah.
So at this time, when you start filming, how old are you in 2019?
I think I was 29. I'm 30 now. I think I was 25 during filming.
Okay.
And then 26 when it came out.
You said, I think, and I did see you do another interview I was watching online, and you said you lie about your age.
No. Oh, so I used to lie about my age when I was a little younger, because one of my best friends lied about her age.
Yeah.
And for some reason, because she was, I felt the need to as well. So I would usually take off like a year max.
Okay.
And that was just like when I was going out to bars, meeting guys.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to think I was like old and trying to like date them or like marry them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would always go younger, because then they would take me less seriously. They wouldn't like try and talk to me too much, because they would just thought I was like a young, dumb, like kind of bimbo. So okay, that was the vibes. But I mean, now I can't lie, because you just Google me and it comes up. I'm like, there's no hiding. Like, I was gonna lie on my 30th birthday, because when I turned 29, I wrote 25, like surprise. And everyone in the comments was roasting me. They're like, you're not 25. You're not 25. I'm like, it's not that deep. Like,
yeah.
It's not that deep. But I think after when I turned 30, I just said like 30th birthday, RIP to my 20s, and I've embraced it.
I love it. Well, you can run, but now you can't hide. That's for damn sure.
There's no hiding.
But you could have hid back in like 2019, right? Mm-hmm. People weren't as familiar with Francesca. Walk me through that point before Netflix approaches you from a career perspective. Like, what was your thought process? What were you doing? What kind of money were you making?
So in 2019, I think at that point I had already quit my job and I was influencing, I guess. Okay. Back then it was a little different. I think there was a lot less people doing it. It didn't have this like huge notoriety title that it does now, but I was working at a bar. I graduated from university, I think, in 2017.
So Canadian of you to say university.
Oh yeah. Cause it's crazy here. Cause it's college.
College. Yeah.
College here is university in Canada.
Yeah.
And university here is college in Canada. It's like switched.
Backwards.
But university in Canada is 4 years. So I did 5 years of university and then I was bartending, doing bottle service at like high end clubs, making good money.
In Canada.
In Canada.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's just stop there for people back home that are curious. When you are doing bottle service, that's an industry. We've explored tons of industries from billionaires to sharks on Shark Tank. Bottle service is one we've never talked about on this show. What, how does that work? Do you get paid an hourly rate and then you're paid a percentage of like what you sell? Like, talk to me about that.
So I think you get paid, I think the time it was $9 an hour.
Okay.
So nothing. The paycheck kind of is just an added bonus you get at the end of the 2 weeks. But where you make your money is making relationships with the people that are coming in and buying bottles, and they tip you a percentage on top of the bottle. So say someone comes in and spends $3,000, then you'll get 20% of that bill.
Okay. And then as a bottle girl or waitress, I'm not exactly sure the exact title, do you get to keep the full tip amount?
Yeah. Well, you tip out your staff. So you tip out the bar back, you tip out the house, a certain percentage, but the rest you get to keep. So it was great because I was making more money than all of my friends, because bottle service at like a high end club, you're making like a couple grand a night minimum. So I was killing it. I was having a great time. I lived in a nice apartment. So it was great at the time. I feel like in my early 20s, it was the perfect career for me. And I was able to drink, I was partying, I was having fun, I was living my best life, meeting rich people that would like take me to do things with them. So for that time in my life, it was perfect.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So you're doing the bottle service. And then at what point do you get into the influencing and when do you move out to LA?
So I started on Instagram when I was 18. And so this was 12 years ago. And I was dating someone who was kind of controlling and would get really upset when I would post selfies. So he cheated on me. We broke up. And as kind of like, can I swear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As kind of like a fuck you to him, I started posting more. I was posting bikini photos, posting mirror selfies, going on vacations to literally post on Instagram and be like, fuck you to this dude. And then I started gaining a following because I was at the time, there wasn't a lot of people doing it. Like this was like Alexis Ren kind of Jay Alvarez vibe. Yeah. So I would literally book a vacation so I could go on a beach and take photos. Like that was the only reason I would want to travel basically, was to get Instagram followers. So that's what I was doing. And I was trying to grow the following. And I remember when I was doing the bottle service, I think I had like 200-ish K followers. And that was the most out of any single person that I knew at the time. So it was considered a big deal then. Obviously now, like everyone has 300K. It's like kind of more lucrative now, but at the time it was a lot. So I was making money on Instagram and doing brand deals, and it got to the point where I was making enough that I didn't need to do the bottle service anymore. So I had quit. And then for about a year, I was just doing brand deals and all that stuff. And then a producer from Too Hot to Handle approached me on Instagram and say, we have the show. We think you'd be great for it. Do you want to audition? And then.
Got it.
Yeah.
It all escalated from there.
Yeah.
We know you have an established brand now, but at this point when you're literally posting out of spite for your ex, and then you blow up at this time, 300,000 followers, doing like the bikini type modeling niche. What could you make like in a year? Like a few hundred grand? Can you make like a ton of money?
I think at the time I wasn't shooting for the stars.
Yeah.
I was really happy making the income that I was making. And I didn't have like a crazy business aspect in my brain. Like I thought, like I was using Farago on my socials, that's not my legal last name, because I thought if I did want to get a different career in the future, like with my degree, or I kind of wanted to go back to school to become a paramedic. I was looking into law. So I was like, okay, I'm going to use Farago on my socials in case I want to do something later. And right when I was getting approached for Too Hot to Handle, I was thinking about going back to be a paramedic. That was like my dream at the time. I'm like, maybe I'll go into nursing, maybe I'll be a paramedic. And then I just stumbled into reality TV, and then now I never looked back.
So your last name's not Farragut?
Not my legal last name, no.
Wow. Does anybody know your legal last name?
Yeah, like my friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you change it intentionally?
I just started using Farragut on my socials in case I ever needed my real last name for something else.
Where'd you come up with Farragut?
It's my mom's last name.
Oh,
yeah. So when she got married, she didn't change her last name because it's a long story, but she kept her last name. So my mom's name's Lucia Farragut.
Okay.
So and half my family has Farragut. So when I decided, my Instagram handle before Farragut was Queen Frankie.
Okay.
So I just changed it to Francesca Farago. And I remember I actually bought the username from someone for $1,500 at the time. Oh, I was like, God. I DM'd her. I'm like, can I have the username, please? And she gave it to me for $1,500. That was a lot. I'm like, damn. But I wanted it so bad. I knew that that was the name that I wanted to have like established. Yeah. So it was worth it.
You've established it.
Yeah.
Now, 6 million plus followers. You're absolutely killing it. I want to ask you this though. If you didn't go on reality TV, you talked about maybe being a paramedic. Being a paramedic pays significantly less than you're making now. And I'm going to imagine significantly less than you were making then. Given the way that things have changed in the landscape of influencing, what do you think you would have done as a side hustle? Like, do you think you would have continued to try and grow that following? Would you have gotten to modeling? Would you have stepped into OnlyFans when it came out? Like, if reality TV didn't come your way, where is Francesca today?
I've thought about this a few times because I'm really not sure where I would have gone. I think I would have gotten just a normal career. Okay. And then I do personally love, like, I know a lot of people don't enjoy posting. They kind of do it for money. But like my fiance, Jesse, he doesn't love posting as much. But for me, I love it. So I think I definitely would have kept in that kind of vlog style, reality type content throughout my life and then had a career and then just done social media on the side.
Okay, that's good. Jesse, you're next to me. I feel you. That's how me and you are in the same boat. It's work.
He gets a lot of hate on social media as well. So it's hard for him to post all the time.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? Like that, just that whole concept of all the noise. It's tough. It's a lot. And I think continuing to just run through it and continue to be your best self is all you can do in this crazy ass world. Okay, so then, that's not the reality. Francesca's not going to be a paramedic. Francesca goes on Too Hot to Handle and you absolutely blow up. Let me ask you about this. When they approached you, was there any hesitation? Was it an immediate yes? Did you try and like negotiate the contract to get paid a certain amount? What was going through your head strategy wise?
I was kind of just hoping not to get kidnapped because at the time I didn't know if it was legit. Like these people were approaching me saying they were Netflix producers. Like it almost seemed too good to be true. So honestly, I'm like, I'm going to get to this foreign country that I didn't know where I was going until like 2 days before. And I'm going to get there and they're going to kidnap me. So that was my only thing. I'm like, please just be legit. Cause at the time, like Too Hot to Handle was one of the first reality shows on Netflix. Like Netflix wasn't doing it. Love is Blind hadn't come out. None of the shows that are popular now were even out. So I was like, I've never even heard of Netflix reality TV. Yeah. So thank God I didn't get kidnapped. We're here. So yeah, I was kind of just hoping that. I'm like, let's just hope I don't get kidnapped.
So I have a little bit of a like glass half empty approach, especially with new people and stuff like that. I think similarly, but that's just, I think how I was like born and bred. Did something ever happen in your life that makes you kind of guarded like that? Or are you just more of a naturally?
I think growing up, like just as a woman in general, you're put in situations that are scary and it's hard to trust men. And even growing up, like when I was growing up, it was a lot different than it is now. Like the Me Too movement and everything that's gone on made people a lot more aware of how women can be treated. But when I was growing up, you kind of just had to like be silenced with it and like be put in situations you didn't want to be in because you couldn't speak up. So I think growing up the way I grew up definitely made me a little bit more guarded and careful with like who I surround myself with and men and being put in situations and things like that.
Very fair. Okay, so you start filming. While you're filming, was reality TV what you expected? And when you were on reality TV, you had already had an influencing background, so you already kind of knew the business. Mm-hmm. Were you thinking strategically, like, every minute I'm here is going to help my brand, every day I can last, I'm in a better position? Did that cross your mind while filming?
Definitely. I think anyone who goes on a reality show, you kind of have that in the back of your mind, but Too Hot to Handle, I was a little bit more naive. I was young. I went on it literally thinking that I was going to find someone that I loved. That was my main goal. I was thinking this is going to be great for my Instagram followers, but I didn't know that it was going to explode the way that it did and give me the career that I have now. I was kind of just hoping maybe if I get a million followers, that would be great. And then I can make more money on social media and then I'll leave here with a boyfriend, someone that I love. And then my life will be like, what's the fairy tale kind of situation. That was like my goal. But during filming, it was weird because everyone that around me during the filming process was really weird and kind of, they seemed to be taking the process very, very seriously. And I was kind of joking and having fun with it. And everyone was kind of not liking me and not really wanting to be my friend or talk to me because I was getting more scenes and getting pulled down for confessionals more, and there was cameras more on me. So I think people were not liking me and getting a little weird and taking a little bit too seriously. But after a few weeks of being on filming, I realized this is going to be boring and no one's going to watch this unless I may start making some moves. And then I kind of like a different side of me took over and I just was focused on making a good show.
So it was like a little bit of a chess game.
You're yeah.
Like, if I can make good TV, I'll be on TV more. As a result of that, that's going to impact my brand.
And I think the cast helped me as well because they were so boring that it really pushed me. Like there would be days that their cameras were around us and everyone was just sitting around like doing nothing. I'm like, this is a show. Like I've seen shows and if someone doesn't do something, like what are we going to be doing here? So I remember like purposely going out of my way to start drama or like putting myself on a date with someone that I knew was a bad idea because it was going to be good for the show.
Yeah.
It's the top rated finance app out there. It is Monarch Money. And so if you want to try it, give it a go right now. You'll get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. So if you are looking to manage your investments, your budget, if you are looking for visibility into all the inflows and outflows of your money, Monarch Money can help you with that. And I do talk a lot on Trading Secrets about the impact of transparency in relationships. One of the cool things is through Monarch Money, you can actually build in a budget with your significant other. So it is very, very important to think about an app like this. Monarch Money is the top rated all-in-one personal finance app, and it gives you that comprehensive view of all the accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create those custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner, and now get the extended day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. So monarchmoney.com/secrets for your extended 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com for an extended 30-day free trial.
I can remember from The Bachelor the one moment where like things changed, the one scene that things changed for me. Do you have that moment from Too Hot to Handle, the one scene that like people were like, oh shit, that's Francesca. It totally blew up your name.
Yeah, I think there was a scene. So the purpose of Too Hot to Handle is you're not supposed to be intimate with one another. So no kissing, blah, blah, blah. And there was one scene where I kissed my friend Haley to purposely lose the group money and lied about it and didn't tell anyone. And we snuck around and we blamed other people for losing the money. So that was the scene kind of that put me on the map, I think.
That's it. I love it. You're spinning things up. You're making it work. You come off the show. You go in with 300,000 followers. How many do you have once the show has been airing for a few months?
Within the first 3 weeks, I went up to 4 mil.
Okay. So why do you think, when you just think about the numbers aspect, why did you grow at the rate you did compared to your peers?
I think I was the one being a little bit more dramatic and I was kind of just being confident and being myself. I think a lot of other people were just kind of fading and not really doing much, not really putting themselves in a situation where the cameras would be interested in looking at them and what they were doing. So for me, I wanted to make sure that I got a lot of camera time and I was just kind of like doing, I didn't care what the audience was going to think about me. Yeah. And I think that helped because I just did not give a fuck. I'm like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want to do. And if I look bad, I literally don't care. And that's kind of the mindset that I had.
Does that careless attitude though, we have had CEOs of like the largest agencies come on here. And one of them said, the people that will get paid the most in this space are the people that have the most G-rated content. So like your kid that's like 10 years old, opening gifts, G-rated, low liability, good engagement. So bigger brands at bigger dollars will work with them. Said as you go up to scale, if like your content becomes PG, then PG-13, then it goes to R, then it goes to X, you will inherently make less because there's a higher liability. And the question comes back to you, did that hurt you at all? Being kind of the wild, the crazy one, the one that's just putting yourself out there and taking shots and doing things differently. Like, did that at all hurt your business? Do you think?
I don't think so. Because for me, I'm one of the only people from that season and from other seasons that is continuing to do more TV and continuing to get more opportunities. The people that kind of stayed G rated at the time didn't really get a lot of traction. Brands didn't really care about them. They kind of just faded out. So in a reality TV setting, you kind of have to really go for it. And if you're not going for it, then there's really no point in being there because you're just like a side character at that point.
Exactly.
So you want to be bold. Obviously there's layers to it. Like when I filmed Perfect Match, I was bold. I was out there. I said whatever I had to say. And my character got really twisted in editing. So that was a mistake on my end for giving production a lot more trust than I should have. So that kind of blundered my brand deal capability after that, because I was not liked for a long period of time. I had to kind of do a lot of like career, what's the word? Jiu-jitsu, career jiu-jitsu.
Great word, Jesse.
Yeah, I had to like do a lot of like undigging myself from this hole that I put myself in because of the way that I was edited, because of the content that I gave production and editing. So after getting myself out of that, I'm back in action. But there was a period where like I was like, I had to like turn off my comments and I had to like really check my socials every day to like delete things that people were saying. And it was bad for a while. Like I was shocked that brands even still wanted to work with me because of the feedback that I got from Perfect Match. So there's like a thin line. Like you don't want to be like the Tom Sandoval. You want to kind of be like the likable, still PG, but still out there and funny. And like, yeah. There's like a line. There's a threshold.
There's a threshold. It's interesting though that you've seen the threshold on like two sides. And so after Perfect Match, it sounds like that threshold, you took it off a little too far. Yeah. And you noticed a business impact from that. Like, do you think your finances took a hit because of that?
No, I mean, no. Just because I'm me and I know, like I'm very savvy with it. So I think maybe someone else would have been affected differently, but I ran with it. Like I embraced the hate and I took advantage of it. But
how do you do that? I think that's a really,
you kind of just have
skill.
To own it. You really have to be confident and own it and take accountability, and you can't let it like you can't really get defensive. If you do something wrong, you can't really get defensive. You kind of have to admit to it and just own it and agree. Like if someone commented, "I hated you on Perfect Match," I'll comment back, "I agree. I hated myself as well."
Wow. Because like you defuse.
Yeah.
No one does that. Everyone defends.
Yeah. So yeah. I obviously like there's a large part of it that I blamed on the editing because it really was the editing. And then there's other parts where I'm like, I agree. Like that was fucked up. Because you have to take accountability or else people are never going to trust you again. Yeah. Like they're never going to trust what you have to say about like, and if you want to work with a brand, you have to be like honest, mm-hmm. because then people can like trust what you're going to say about products and stuff like that. And like everything in life.
Yeah. I think anyone back home should take that advice. Like everyone gets stuck. When you get stuck into a tough spot, especially professionally, like just take ownership because you mm-hmm. diffuse everything. When you start defending,
yeah.
I want to go toe to toe. Let's argue. Let's go. When you're just like, I hated you on Perfect Match, and you respond saying, I hated myself too. All
yeah.
The cards,
what are they going to say to that? Like, they can't say anything else. Empathy.
You're like, wow, yeah. That's tough. Okay. Interesting. Very tactful, by the way. Very smart. Let's talk about you get off your first show, Too Hot to Handle. You go from 300,000 to over 4 million, 10 times the increase in followers. When did you notice the first either check or opportunity or business deal that came your way that said, holy shit, life has just changed for me dramatically?
I think it was pretty instant. I had a manager at the time and we would have weekly meetings of like hundreds and hundreds of brands offering me all this money. And we would go through a spreadsheet of like what they wanted and the dollar amounts. And I would see all the dollar amounts like lined up and then like a total at the bottom for the month. And I was like, that's crazy.
Can you share what that total was?
I remember my first, like the highest month I had after, like, so Too Hot to Handle came out and in the first 6 months, it was crazy every month. But I remember the highest month of just brand deals, which I'm not making this much now on just brand deals. But yeah. At the time, I remember it was like 360K for 1 month, like at the total at the bottom. And I was like,
wow,
that's fucked up. I'm like, that is crazy. I was like giving money to my friends, like giving money to my parents. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that at this point. Like it was a lot at the time and I was 26. Yes. So I was a little bit more like carefree. But I've never been a person to like overly shop and like buy myself crazy things and stuff like that. So I was just like, wow, like what am I going to do with this? Like, am I going to spend this? What am I going to invest in? Like what, like, cause once you start making that much money, you really need to think about like your future, and you can, if you're smart with it, you're set for life.
Yeah. It's so true. More money, more problems. Like it's a real thing. One thing.
Not for me. I feel like more money, more
fun,
less problems,
more fun.
Yeah. I don't think more money, more problems is true. Not for me.
Okay. I think more money, the thing that becomes more complication when you think about taxes, you got to hire someone to deal with this. You need a bookkeeper.
I pay my bookkeepers. Well, my bookkeeper is actually my mom.
Okay.
But I pay my accountant a lot of money. So he does a lot for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right. So you see that one thing we talk about the show is like just financial transparency and like trying to break the walls down to talk to people about money because it could help educate you to better your own career. You start seeing 360K come in monthly. Are you calling your peers on Too Hot to Handle? Are you talking to your people like, holy shit, are you seeing this money come in? Or are you just like, no, I'm going to do my own thing?
Fuck. Yeah. Like, I wasn't friends with the cast
at all.
I had my ex at the time who we were close for a bit. We quickly fizzled after the show came out and stopped talking, but everyone was really upset that I grew and they didn't. Mm. I would be as well. Like if I was on a show and I tried my hardest, like, and someone else took off way more than me, I would probably be a little jealous as well. But I wasn't talking to them. No.
Got it. That's interesting. At all. So you're running your own show, doing your thing.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the finances. You already alluded to it. Who are some of the like celebrities that are reaching out to you that you're kind of having a pinch me moment? Like, holy smokes.
I think it was Ariana Grande for sure.
That's when crazy. What is she saying?
I think she said like, I honestly forget because it was like so long ago, but she followed me and she followed my swimwear page. And I was like, oh my God, she followed Fair Girl the label. So I like DM'd her. I should have, everyone was saying, send her swim. But I fumbled because I didn't want to seem like I was trying to make a business opportunity out of it. I'm like, no, she's chill. Like I'm not that type of person. So I just said like, oh, love you, whatever. And she said, oh my God, you're so sweet, blah, blah, blah. And like now we still kind of have, like she still follows me. I have a little bit of a relationship with her. Like sometimes if she's throwing an event, I'll ask if she's going. So that was nice.
Have you sent her swimwear?
I haven't. No, I should, but it's just,
I got an idea.
It's just not like me to do that. I don't know. Like I'm not like, I don't want to, I'm an opportunist when it comes to myself, putting myself in situations, but I feel like people I surround myself with, I don't like feeling like an opportunist.
Okay.
In that kind of sense.
I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the idea. Give her a gift card. Send Ariana Grande $250, $500 gift card, whatever. And just say, hey, I see that you follow the swimwear company. If you ever want to buy anything here, it's on us, but absolutely no pressure. And then if she uses it, great. You'll actually be able to see that she used it and you keep an eye on it. Okay. And then if she doesn't use it, there's no cost for you.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's just a nice gesture.
Okay.
Just a thought. All right. The swim company, when did you start it? How long after the show did you start it?
So before the show came out, I was planning to launch the bikinis around when the show came out. So I remember I got Romeo, my dog, and for 2 months I was like, I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to get this company ready. And cause I can't leave this little tiny 2 pound. Yeah. He was like less than a pound Pomeranian home alone. I'm just going to watch him and raise him and train him. So I had him and I would like feed him and watch him in his little crate. And then I would be on my laptop all day, every day for like 2 months. So I got everything ready. I started getting the brand. It took like about a year. And then my plan was to launch it right when the show was coming out. Blessed that it was delayed. Cause it took me a lot longer to launch it than I thought, but brilliant, I launched it the day the show came out.
That is genius.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So smart. I'm going to give you an incredible hack that is going to help you not spend so much money at restaurants. It's called Factor. They have these delicious, ready to eat meals. They're always fresh, never frozen. You'll have over 35 different options, and there are also 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good. These meals are ready in 2 minutes. You fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat wherever you are. I always joke around, I'll throw a 45-minute lunch in the calendar, I'll heat my Factor meal up for 2 minutes, I'll eat it in 5 minutes, and maybe I'll even sneak in a nap. So head to factormeals.com/tradingsecrets50 and use code tradingsecrets50 to get 50% off. So if you're spending too much money at the restaurants, this is a no-brainer. Go to use tradingsecrets50 to get 50% off. That's code tradingsecrets50 at factormeals.com to get 50% off. 50% off. That's a pretty good one. Did you have investors? Did you have to put money up front? Tell me about the business.
I put like $10,000 of my own money in for product, and the rest I hired some people. My website designer actually did my website for free. I don't even know how I think he DM'd me before the show came out and was like, oh, if you ever need help with your website, let me know. And I was like, perfect. So he literally worked with me for a year just for free. It was crazy. So I saved a lot of money on that. And then I hired some people online to help me find manufacturers, but everything else I just did myself. And then I spent 10 grand on stock and that was it. I didn't have investors. I didn't.
And so you own 100% of the company.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's all me.
How's the company been growing and how's it doing?
Yeah. Well, it did amazing after Perfect Match because I just wore the bikinis the whole time.
Yeah.
So that was great. And now it just kind of has its own image. Like I'm very body positive and I'm very inclusive. So now it kind of, it's taken on this own life of its own aside from me. Which is great.
People that work for the
company? Just me.
Just you.
Yeah.
Are you in other retailers or everything online?
It's everything online. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Someone back home, they're inspired by you and they want to start some type of clothing line or some type of merch or something. What piece of advice would you give them?
I would say test the market. Okay. I didn't because I had the social media presence that I didn't need to, that I feel like people just wanted to kind of buy a piece of me when the show came out. But if I were to go back and not have the following that I did at the time, I would say do test launches and see, don't buy too much product because you want to see what people like first. Because just because I like something doesn't mean everyone else is going to like something. I had to launch a lot of bikinis that I personally wouldn't wear, but I saw my following and I would look at them and see what they were wearing on their pages. And I wanted to launch something that everyone would like and that it would be inclusive for every body type. So I would say market test and just literally go for it because don't spend too much money. Don't invest too much of your own money just in case. But
I like the idea of market test and then also maybe limit total inventory so you're not wasting as much money.
Yeah.
Like do like small limited releases to see the response and then you can go from there. So people back home, you don't just get crushed if you don't have a following.
Even a pre-order works as well.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Cash is coming in.
Yeah.
And then you're not using your own money. Perfect Match. I read an article that people were out there saying that the only reason you took on Perfect Match was to actually get your bikini line in the cameras. What's your response to that from a business perspective?
So I was getting so much hate when Perfect Match came out, honestly, rightfully so. So I was getting destroyed online and I wanted to kind of make light of the situation because what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit here in a hole and like cry. So I posted a video of, I had this one girl helping me, a friend of mine. So she would take clips and send me all the clips of me wearing the bikinis. And I put it together. I edited it myself. I put it together in a collage and I posted it on Instagram and I wrote POV, went on a Netflix show to promote my bikini brand or promote my swim line. Cause I was just like, everyone's hating on me anyways. I might as well get extra sales because of it. Like I was getting so shit on and I just kind of wanted to make a joke, but people took it a lot more seriously. Obviously, but I didn't go on it to promote Farrago the label, but I knew that I was going to be wearing my bikinis the whole time.
So it was a little bit part of it. Okay. Another thing I got for you is you went on your first show, 300,000 followers. You go on your second show, 6 million plus, or you're at that 4 to 6 million range and you have all this momentum at your back. Celebrities are reaching out to you, 365K in deals a month. How do you negotiate what your value should be going into another show, knowing you're bringing so much to those cameras?
I think, so I'm actually working on that right now where me and my manager are working on a deal for me to do another show. And I think you have to weigh what's worth it for your time and worth it. Cause obviously if you're away filming, you have to consider how much money you're not making being at home. So the deals that you're missing out on while you're gone, just the money for your time to put in the effort. It's really hard to negotiate. I kind of just shoot for the stars and then they'll come back with something else. And then I'll think if it's worth it for me or not. Like I've gotten offers for shows before that are considered a lot of money to other people, but it just wouldn't be worth it for me long-term to consider an opportunity unless like
it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, cause I think I've worked my way up to that point where I have kind of more leverage, I would say.
Sure.
So
yeah. And because tell me if I'm wrong here, but you saw what could happen with Perfect Match.
Exactly.
If that happens again, that takes a material impact on your business.
Yeah.
And is the risk reward even worth it at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Okay. I saw in your Variety bio, it said that you were a big fan of Survivor. Of course, you wouldn't be on any love shows anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming possibly a challenge show?
I my dream is to go on Survivor. I think it'll probably have to be after I have my first baby, because I don't think I have enough time to do Survivor before then. But my goal with my fiance is we want to go on Survivor or Naked and Afraid. That's like just like something in my bucket list that I would love to do.
You guys would be open to just like
100%.
Let's just go.
100%. People always like are shocked by that, because I'm such like a girly girl, but I'm just obsessed with like the gameplay, the strategy, not having to worry about like dudes trying to hit on me or like, you know what I mean? If the purpose of the show is not to date and it's just to strategize, that's a dream. Because I can be sneaky if
I think the biggest hurdle, of course, is being fully naked the whole time in front of everyone. But you're saying that's like you would both have so much.
That's the easiest. That's the easiest part.
That would be the easy part.
I look good naked, so. So does Jesse, so we're good.
All right, there you go. Jesse, you down for this?
He's the one who introduced me to Naked and Afraid, actually. Wow. Yeah.
Naked and Afraid, or I think
Survivor.
Survivor, or what's the, come on, the travel one, where they're...
Amazing Race?
Amazing Race.
Yeah.
All right, maybe it's in your future. We were talking before the show, guys. I think you and Jesse should have your own show.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I mean, we can edit this out, but I just want... You can tell me if we want to edit this out. But we're talking before. I said, so what are you guys doing tonight? Like, well, I think we're going to get dinner and go to the strip club. I was like, what? Is that a normal thing? And they're like, yeah, I mean, whatever. We're going to have some fun. And then I was like, you two need your own show. Do you think you guys like would crush your own show?
We were working on filming pilots with a network, and then it didn't go the way we were wanting it to go. So now we're pivoting to maybe another network, but the end goal, like in the future, would be to have our own, because I told myself after Perfect Match, I was never going to be a contestant, like not Survivor, Naked and Afraid contestant, because that's different, but I was never going to be like a contestant again, just because of the environment. And I'm saying that, but I'm literally looking into being a contestant again, like literally as we speak. So the goal would be to never be a contestant ever again, and to just have our own situation. Cause I feel like as well, our story's never been told before. Like my fiance's trans and we have a 15-year-old who's non-binary, and we're starting a family and we're like both queer, and it's never been done before. Like I've never seen it. And I feel like it's important for the younger generations to see, especially with all the hate in the queer community right now. So that would be the goal. That's the dream in like the next 5 years, I think.
I love it. You guys have so much on your horizon. It's so exciting. I got to ask, like, so, okay, we talk money on this podcast. Suppose you do go to Celebrate, you go to a strip club, how much money are you bringing? Like, are you throwing the dollars?
So we never at the strip club? We never go to the ATM sober, because we never take out enough. So after we get drunk,
that's a trading secret right there.
Cause there's no point. Cause then we don't have enough money. Yeah, I don't have an American debit card. So it's always Jesse's card at the strip club.
Jesse's friend.
We'll go to the ATM drunk, maybe take out like 2-3 grand. And then if we're lucky, we wake up and we have some cash. And we're like, sweet.
Okay. But, so a typical night at the strip club, we're throwing 2-3K down.
Yeah. Well, we went in Mexico for my birthday. We took my dad to the strip club and like all my friends, and it was so much fun. I don't remember how much money we spent, but it was like ridiculous. Like we woke up and we had an allotted amount of money to spend for the week, and we spent that all in the first night. Like for the whole week, we're like, are you kidding me?
We're talking like 10 grand.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. It was close to that. Yeah.
Oh,
I know, but it was worth it. It was my 30th birthday. Yeah. I bought my dad a bunch of lap dances. It was so worth it.
That's just, I gotta tell you, I've done a lot of things in my life. I don't think I've bought my dad a lap dance.
It was amazing. My mom's so chill. She does not care about that stuff. Yeah, like me and my mom are very similar. Like, if I were to watch you get a lap dance, Jesse, I would not care. And my mom were to watch my dad get a lap dance, like she does not care either. So it's just like, it was so much fun.
Francesca, as someone who does talent management, I'm thinking you don't need to be paying at strip clubs. They need to be paying you to show up.
Imagine.
No, not
because you can't film. You can't really film. So it's not like they could promote me being there and like a titties in the back, you know, like
but in advance, they could be like, Francesca showing up tonight. And I would say your rate for that should be like 30 grand minimum.
I've got paid to go to a club before and it was ridiculously insane. And I don't think I would do it again. Cause
what do you mean it was insane?
It was just like so overwhelming.
Oh, and just like fans.
I think promoting that you're going to be somewhere before you're going to be there. And it was in Canada as well. So Canada's different, but it was like very, very overwhelming. Yeah. And I want to like talk to everyone and meet people, but I was like, my social anxiety was like
too much.
Too much. Yeah.
And when you do an appearance like that though, like what is a rate you would want to get for something like
that? I think it depends. So it depends if I'm going to have fun, if I can bring my friends, if they're covering travel, if I can make it worth my while, do something else after. But yeah, probably about 15, 30, depending on the vibes.
Okay.
Yeah.
On vibes.
Like I'll do it for cheaper if I want to.
Yeah.
If I'm like going to have a good time.
Okay. I want to talk, we're kind of transitioning. You talked a little bit about the fact that you are, you know, you're pursuing IVF and you've talked about it very publicly. I want to get to that, the whole love and money. Before I do, we had one question that came in from a listener. We don't really talk exes here, but this has to do with the ex, but I'm going to bring it right to business. There was when Harry did the ring pop engagement on the virtual reunion episode. The only business question I got from that was that like a gimmick with Ring Pop? Was that like a paid deal for the
That
exposure?
Would have been, honestly, I have no idea. It could have been for him.
Because I read the article in advance for this and it said like Ring Pop was featured. And typically that means like...
That would not surprise me. Press. That would not surprise me whatsoever if he got paid to do that because that's just who he is. But for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm engaged. Like I thought it was legit. Because I remember telling him at the beginning of our relationship, I was like, you can propose to me with a ring pop. I wouldn't care. So when he did it, I was like, wait, is this real? Wait, is this happening? Wait, am I engaged? Like I was like so giddy, but he just did it for the press. Like it was fake. It was for PR for him, but for me, it wasn't. So
okay,
if he got paid for it, wouldn't surprise me. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
I wasn't paid. I should have been paid. That was trauma, honestly. That was traumatic.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't know if it was like a joint thing. I have no idea. It was just a question.
I didn't make a penny off that.
From the
off
money
that reunion. No.
Okay. See, you got some energy around there. We'll let that energy go. I won't even step into that. Okay, so tell me a little bit about like just the whole love and money journey. I'm curious a lot. So my book is about 8 numbers you have to know about yourself and you should know about your significant other. How do you guys, do you have any systems for finances? Do you talk openly about it? Like how do you guys manage the whole aspect of money? Because it is now the second reason that people are getting divorced and the numbers behind.
Really?
Number 2 right now.
Is wow, money that's issues. Crazy.
And the statistics behind how financial issues and lack of transparency can impact intimacy, infidelity. And then there's this new term called financial infidelity where people cheat with their finances. Like it's a crazy world.
Whoa.
And so my thought is, do you guys, is it something you guys talk about? Like, is it something that's
that is, I mean, I feel like if financial issues are like a reason for a divorce or a reason for infidelity, then maybe your relationship wasn't like too solid to start out with because I could never imagine financial stuff coming in the way of mine and Jesse's relationship. We like to push each other to earn more money always. I'm always encouraging him to do more brand deals, to post more, and he's doing the same with me, vice versa. So we definitely push each other to do better and to do more always. But we're very transparent with like how much money we make and brand deals we do together and what we spend our money on and who spends money on what and who pays for what. We have a very good division in our relationship of like who does what and kind of how the ebb and flows of it. I think it'll be maybe more different when we're married and we join accounts or get brand deals together and maybe we'll have a certain account for certain money, a certain account for different money. But right now it's great. Like no complaints at all with the way that we operate now. I think you need to be very transparent and just smart about it. Like we're very good with money. Well,
what's the irony?
Because I was like 10K at the strip club. That's like not the best. But other than that, like we don't have shopping problems. Like the most we spend our money on is like business class flights or experiences or dinners and strip clubs. That's like basically all we spend our money on.
Every time you say strip clubs, it's like, is this a normal night? Like strip clubs is like a normal.
If we go out, we're going to the strip club.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause there's no, wow. I'm not going to go to a club.
I haven't been to a strip club and like, I don't know.
Well, come with us tonight.
Can we go to the strip club?
Let's go.
Are we going? Like, so I'm going to bring both sex and money, I think go hand in hand in a lot of things. And here's why. I think we've gotten as a society so comfortable talking about sex now, but we still aren't even that comfortable talking about money. And there are these taboos, but they're really important. So with money, you guys have a great system. It sounds like you customized a plan that works. And then it sounds like with sex stuff, you're very open too. Like it seems like these are connecting. Like you guys are just very like open with what you guys do and how you do it, whether it's sex or money. And it sounds like you just put rules in place and you're like, hey, you can go get a lap dance. That's cool. And like, it seems like you just have this like relationship structure that's customized, whether it is sex or money, that just works for you. Is that right?
Yeah. I think we're both very trusting in one another and we've been through so much. Like Perfect Match was really hard and we've broken up and got back together. We've done long distance. So we've been through so much and he has a 15-year-old. Well, now they're mine as well. Yeah. So having a child in the mix definitely makes you mature in the relationship a lot quicker because it's not just us two. There is also a child to think about as well. So
yeah, got it.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/tradingsecrets. So if you haven't checked out BetterHelp, here's the biggest thing I want you to know. Therapy has changed my life. It's allowed me to grow. It's allowed me to be a different person than I was yesterday. It's changed my professional, financial, and personal life. And with BetterHelp, you can have that type of experience right from your home. You can find a way to squeeze in time for a therapist that best fits for you. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. You'll just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists at any time at no additional coverage or charge. Having the right therapist, like the right dynamic, is so important. So for them to do that is so huge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tradingsecrets today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tradingsecrets.
The only question I have about managing all of that, how do you know like where it's gone too far, money or the sex thing? How do you know like where it's gone too far? I don't know if there's a stripper that's like trying to hook up with you or if you spend something that's not in the rule. Like, what's your advice to people back home that like they have a good custom solution, regardless if it's the sex, money, partying thing?
I think you just really, in a relationship, you really need to put the other person, not necessarily above you, but definitely on the same level as like you need to put your partner first. Obviously, your emotions and your feelings should be very high because you can't be there for your partner in ways if you're not there for your own self, like mentally. If you're going through something hard, it's hard for you to be there for your partner, but your partner needs to be the most important thing because I could blow 50K on something, but Jesse's more important to me. Our future family's more important to me. I'm not going to blow our money because I need to think about the future. I need to think about Arlo, our 15-year-old. And you really have to put the other person basically first, because if you don't, then that's when you like trail off and you make them upset by doing something or flirting with a stripper at a strip club. You wouldn't do that because that would upset the other person and you don't want to do anything to make the other person upset.
Yeah. It's a mutual respect, and I like that it's customized because everyone's got their own things that work and don't work. And finding, I think, just a customized solution is genius. And also not giving a shit what other people say.
Yeah.
People will hear this and be like, why are they going to the strip club? Who gives a shit? If that's what you two want to do for fun and that's what brings you joy, do you. And I think so many people are so worried about with money and sex and stuff, so worried about everybody else's opinions that therefore they suffer because they're trying to adhere to other bullshit rather than living the life they want.
I think that's what we're really good at. I think just being on Too Hot to Handle, all the reality shows, I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. Obviously, I don't want to do something that's going to offend people by accident, because you have to be aware of that, especially on social media. You have to be aware of everyone and everyone's thoughts in like a sensitive kind of way. But other than that, like, I don't care what other people think. Like, I will do whatever I want to do. I'll post whatever I want to post because it's my life at the end of the day. As long as I'm not like offending anyone, then I don't really care.
I love it. Okay. Two more questions on the love and money thing. I want to talk about the house and IVF. IVF's been a journey for you. Yeah. Sure. Financially too, right? Isn't IVF extremely expensive?
Yeah.
Like that is that's something. It's like if one cycle doesn't work, that could cost like another 10 to 20 grand. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So we got really lucky. We only had to do one round each, but people who have fertility issues, which are most people that do IVF, like unless you're queer, you are doing IVF because you have fertility problems. Yeah. And people would comment on my video saying, oh, I'm on my 9th round this week. And I just think about that's like 200 grand. That's so hard on your body. I can't even imagine. Like doing it once was traumatic and it really like painful, physical, mental, like the mental aspect is really crazy. The financial aspect's crazy. I can't even imagine like how these people are doing it like that many times. Like it's I applaud them.
Oh my gosh. Well, good for you guys. I mean, I think anyone that's going through IVF, cheers, hats off, and continue that journey. And I just, my heart bleeds for the people that have to do it like 9 times. Cause I've seen the process, the needles, the timing, like it's physically and mentally.
I think it should be covered by healthcare for sure.
So I think so.
In Canada, your first round is covered. Yeah. So the first one you do is free, but it definitely should be covered or at least somewhat covered because it's not someone's fault that they're infertile.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Can you give an update of like where you stand in that journey?
So we have our frozen embryos in the freezer ready to go.
Awesome.
I start hormones again tomorrow, actually. That's why our last hurrah strip club today. And then, our plan right now is for the 14th today. Our plan right now is for in a few weeks to do the embryo transfer.
Amazing.
Our first one.
Well,
yeah.
Congratulations. That is
Thank
so
you.
Exciting.
Yeah. We're excited.
Let's go. Go time. All right. The last question I got about the love and money, the house. I've seen you do TikToks about the contractors. It's going to take another 6 months, the renovation. Just talk to me about the finances of that and if you have any tips or tricks for people that are out there.
Okay. My tip would be to not do anything I did regarding the renovation. I am very trusting.
Okay.
And I trusted the wrong person with my home because I'm just too trusting. Jesse sees through bullshit better than I do in regards to like financial aspects, but I was making so much money that I wasn't really analyzing. Absolutely not, mister. I was making so much money. I am making so much money that like couple grand, 10 grand here, 10 grand there. I wasn't overanalyzing anything. And that's where I failed because at the end of the day, I think there was a lot of money stolen, a lot of money in the house that I don't know where it went. I think definitely if you're renovating a house, get a project manager, get a bookkeeper, get someone on your finances, get someone on the contractor, hire the people at the beginning, even though it's expensive, it's worth it in the end because I would have saved myself so much money if I hired those people to like watch over the renovation for me.
Are you implying like you had things stolen from the house?
Not like material things, but financially. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like I would get a bill and I would pay it without looking into where that money was going or the receipts.
Okay.
So I was spending a lot of money cause I was just trusting.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm flawed in that aspect because there's so much money that I'm like, where did this go?
Yeah. What did you expect to pay versus what do you think you did pay?
I was quoted $830,000 for the renovation.
Yeah.
I've spent so far with the recent 1.4 million on the renovation so far. And then obviously I bought the house as well. So that on top of it, but
seems criminal.
Yeah. And I still have a lot more money to go to spend. So I know it's been a nightmare, but I'm excited for it to be done. I definitely wouldn't take any home advice from me. I would say, watch my TikToks if you want to know what not to do but it's a lot more common than you think. A lot of people have issues with contractors. Everyone's commenting saying same thing happened to me. And I think the issue with, I got quoted like $200,000 for a project manager and I didn't do it because I thought that was too much money. I was like, I'm just going to do it myself, but I regret it because if you hire the middle people to deal with the contractor, then you save more money in the long run and then the project's done properly.
Interesting. I think there's a lot of trading secrets there because usually where we learn is from failure, not from success. So thank you for sharing that. Let's do a little rapid fire and then we'll wrap up with your trading secrets. So we'll start with this. It's the Money Mafia rapid fire. When you look at 2023, the year just ended, top revenue sources, like was it social media? Was it the swimwear? Like what were like some of your top revenue sources?
Definitely social media is top revenue source. 100%.
Which Instagram or TikTok pays more?
Instagram pays more per item, but TikTok is more frequent.
Okay.
So there's a lot more like, you wouldn't know, but 90% of my videos on TikTok are paid and you just would never know.
Interesting.
It's the people who own a song will pay me to just put their song on a video. So I'll get paid for the video, but it'll just be a random video of whatever I want. Whatever and then I'll get paid a couple grand for that. So it's like every video that has a certain song is paid. Uh-huh. And I didn't even know this until recently. I realize a lot of creators do that as well. Cause I see the same creators using the same songs with like kind of the same creative on the video. And I had no idea.
Interesting.
Like, you don't really realize it's a brand deal, but it is.
But it is. Yeah. Mm. Are both of those fair to say 7-figure businesses?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. Yeah. Biggest payday in 2023.
Oh, I don't know. One in one day.
I don't know. Like a moment of job or something. You're like, oh shit, that was awesome.
I don't even know. I feel like a good week would be like 120K a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toughest financial loss. I think it's probably
the house. The house. 100%.
All right, last two. What's your financial red flag?
In regards to...
Like, you know how they say there's red flags in dating? Like, you know, I lie or I deceive or I'm always late or whatever. Like, when it comes to your finances, what do you think like your red flag is? What's like your biggest weakness when it comes to money management?
I would say my biggest weakness would be being too trusting with people that I'm paying or not looking into things as much as I should.
The detail, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Important.
Okay, then let's go. We'll finish up with this one. The financial green flag. So your money management green flag. What's something you do really well that...
I don't buy a lot of designer items.
Okay.
Unless I really want something and I've been thinking about it for a while, I'll buy it. But I don't spend my money on purses or jewelry or things like that. Yeah. I just save that for like travel or anything else.
Okay. Then what is your tip then? Because every time you're anywhere or you're on Instagram or TikTok, Jesse, you could back me up here. You look like you came out of like a magazine, like the outfit. The headband, like, so do you have like a strategy for...
Well, cause a lot of clothes I can get for free.
Okay. So you'll
with
use
brands. I will reach out to brands all the time if I want clothes, even if I want an outfit and it is going to require me to post it on social media for free, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll be like, hey, I would love these 10 items. I'll give you a feed post in exchange and the company will say yes. Cause I could just spend $500 on the clothes or I could just save that money and use it for something else and then post the picture instead. So I would say it's hard because being a girl, you get really sucked into thinking that you need these material things and you want to post these material things. But I think the one thing you shouldn't do is compare yourself and just be confident in your own skin. It takes a learning kind of, it takes years to build confidence, but I think working on self-confidence is most important because once you're so confident in yourself, you don't feel the need to be flashy with these other things in your life.
Francesca, we see a side of you on reality TV, but we don't hear or see this side of you often. There is a lot going on up there. Extremely smart, strategic, intentional. It's no coincidence that, you know, you have the affordability and the finances to even do a $1.5 million renovation. So congratulations on everything. You're killing it. I'm really glad we had this interview because it's a whole different side of Francesca that we need to hear more of. You're going to be like the next business woman in leadership, Forbes 40 under 40. Watch out.
I wanted to be on Forbes 30 under 30 so bad. And then I thought about it like right before my 30th birthday. I was like, shit. I know Jesse was like, why wasn't I on Forbes 30 under 30? I'm like, you're 34. He's like, oh yeah.
I thought the same thing, Jesse.
But I think 40 under 40 is my next goal because now I can't be 30 under 30. Well, can you be 30 under 30 if you're already 30? Or is it only 30? See, I missed it, but I should have.
You should look into that.
I could have. I feel like I could have been on it if I just tried, but I didn't try. I tried when it was too late.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you should look into it to see if you could submit now.
Yeah.
And for 40 under 40, submit, because one of the part of submitting is you have to actually prove your financials.
Yeah.
Just based on this conversation, obviously you're driving the business to support it. Yeah, let's go. You're already top girl in reality TV, top woman in 2023.
That's the goal.
So let's go. 40 under 40. Francesca, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets. Before we wrap up, we got to get one trading secret. You've given a lot of them today, but it's something that people can't learn from a professor or TikTok tutorial or YouTube lesson. They can only get from your career track. It could be money management, life lesson, career management, but just one trading secret from Francesca.
I feel like the key, I kind of said this earlier, like really recently, but I feel like the key to be successful in life, whether it be with love, relationships, finances, just getting what you want out of life, is really to work on self-confidence and being humble, not confidence where you have an ego, but confidence within it, whether that be reading a book to get there or learning about yourself and learning about your behavioral patterns. Really find out how to be confident and be a confident person, because confidence can get you anything in life. I think personally, in my experiences at least.
Yeah. I think it's a great trading secret. And I think if everyone's listening to what Francesca just said, I think in all ways we could do some self-awareness and self-searching to say there's areas in life we're not confident and to work on those things, because it can make a huge difference. Well, Francesca, thank you for being on Trading Secrets. Hell of an episode, from strip clubs to sex and money. We covered it all. Francesca, where can everyone find everything you have going on?
All my socials are Francesca Farago.
Okay.
So TikTok, Instagram. And then my bikini brand is Farago, the label.
Okay, guys, check that out. And then Jesse's in the room. Can you say Jesse's handles?
All of his are Jesse Sully.
All right. Go check both of them out. Jesse and Francesca, thank you guys for being here. And thank you for being on this episode.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We are closing to the bell with the one and only, the curious Canadian, talking about a Canadian, Francesca Farago.
This episode was nothing but electric. I was on the edge of my seat through the entirety. I had no idea what was coming next, whether it was a wild, wild story or it was a massive, massive number. But one thing we can say with certain, David, is that Francesca Farago was here to trade the secrets. And holy shit, did she ever trade secrets? What are you thinking, David?
I mean, first question before I get into anything is I need to know, did you end up going to the strip club with them? Because it was referenced like 8 times. So I need to know.
All right. So here's the deal. Our video editor, Mark Colser, and I said, you know what? Here's what we'll do. We're not going to reach out, but if they reach out to us, we'll go. Well, we were doing our own thing. And they reached out. And by the way, the place is called Jumbo's. I have since learned that it is like a legendary establishment there. And the who's that comedian? He's always on ABC stuff. He's the shorter guy, blonde hair that goes down to his shoulders, straight hair, old school. David Spade owns it. Okay. And my understanding is there's only one stripper that's there. And then there is the lady that bartends is like an older lady, and you have these big glass mugs, cold mugs. And the older lady, they joke around, it's like the grandma of Jumbo's, and she just chirps everybody. So we get the text from Francesca and she's like, you guys got to come. We're like, oh shit, are we going to do this? So Mark and I are like, all right, let's do it. Let's go. Well, we get there and Francesca and Jesse were in the parking lot having a conversation. And then I went over, I was like, well, good to see you guys. I was like, we'll just get in line. And we get in line. And then Francesca and Jesse come over and like, hey, we're going to bail and go home. And so we were in line and they bailed and went home. I guess she wasn't feeling well and they might have gotten in an argument or something when they got there. And so they ended up going home. And so Mark and I looked at each other like, what are we doing? We're not going to Jumbo's by ourselves. So we left the line and there was like this Thai joint across the street and we just went and got Thai food across the street. And the Thai food was
way better. Okay.
Dude, and the Thai food was the best Thai food I've ever had in my life. Still to this day, we're like, dude, fuck Jumbo's. We got to go back to that Thai place. So we went, but we didn't go.
Well, I had to ask it. And if you're a new listener to the podcast, and this is the first podcast that you've listened to, you're probably like, that was the wildest podcast ever, because not only, you know, it just kind of personified who she is. There's going to be some clips that come out just from some one-liners that she had, whether it's about quotes, whether it's about money that she talked about, and honestly, whether it's about business that she talked about. She had some unbelievable, you know, savvy advice and savvy opinions on some things where that was like, I would say, one of the most entertaining episodes that we've had in a long time. And the beauty about Francesca is that she doesn't shy away and she takes great accountability for a lot of things that she's done. So I know you texted me right after your recording, like that was hands down the wildest episode that you've ever recorded. So, but the thing that really stuck out to me with her is, you know, we've had a lot of guests on and the difference between Francesca is what she said in her training secret. Self-confidence is the key to everything. Jay, you got to talk me through how she was in person, because she didn't stutter at answering a question. She didn't ask for more time. Her inflections, her tone, her confidence, whether it was about talking about her swimwear line of business that she started, how she got, you know, how she was on reality TV, you know, how she's dealt with some negative things that have happened to her. Was she just that like confident in person?
She was, because I don't think in the 100 some plus episodes I've ever had, I've had a few people, I think it's Savannah Chrisley was one of them, but I can't think of many people that listen to a question and instant fucking taneously, just the first thing that comes to their brain, they just say it. And even though it's out, like zero fear of judgment, zero fear of anything. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I think, you know, I was thinking about it. There was this clip I saw with Josh Richards and Dave Portnoy this week talking about with Brianna Chicken Fry about how some people don't have an internal voice
And they were like having this big argument, like, that's impossible. Breon Chicken Fried's like, no, a lot of people don't have internal conversation with themselves. They think it and they say it. And Dave and Josh were like, that's impossible. Those are called thoughts. Like, everyone has thoughts. And Breon Chicken Fried's like, no, you can talk to like people in therapy, like professionals. There are people that do not have internal conversations. When I saw that clip, I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if that's Francesca. Like, she doesn't have internal conversations. She just like, when you ask her a question, she's like, I don't fucking, whatever. Like, no, that show sucked. They needed more entertainment. It was me. How much did you make a week? Well, the most I've ever made is 170K or whatever that number was. What's the most you've made? 120K in a week. Okay. What's the most you made in a month? 360K. Like, it was like instantaneous, non-thinking, boom, boom, boom. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. And then she was, you know, fourth and inches away from just being a paramedic and none of these things ever happening before the show came calling. Now, as you're having this conversation, I know you, Jay, you're a business guy. You have the talent agency. Is what she's saying even believable from, you know, the work that you do? You talked about the ratings bucket on the show. I mean, she's pretty much, you know, in the R-rated influencing category, which, as you know, is usually the smallest chance of really financial success. But here she is. She's got over 6 million followers on Instagram. You know, she's having 360K months in brand deals, 120K weeks. She talked about both Instagram and TikTok being seven-figure businesses for her. As you think with your Rewired Talent Agency, you know, hat on, is this like a unicorn situation, or how much was your jaw on the floor when she was sharing this information?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, based on the numbers you see and then the engagement with the numbers, you know, you don't have everything, but that all checks to me. One thing I didn't get into, and David, correct me if I'm wrong, this interview was a little while ago, so I might have, and I did listen to it back, but the OnlyFans, we didn't get into her OnlyFans numbers, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. So you had asked her if the show didn't come along, if that was an avenue that she would have gone. I still don't know if she has gone into it.
Oh, okay. I don't know either. But my point is she might have other sources, but you asked me, do I feel like those numbers are surprising to me? And the answer is no, I don't. I'm looking right now on her Linktree. I don't see OnlyFans, so it appears she probably does not have that. But these numbers all sound very, 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 very legit.
And we're coming off the episode with Trishel and Pilot Pete on Traitors. She talked about wanting to go on Survivor. She talked about wanting to go to Naked Afraid. This, I mean, she's made for Traitors, is she not? Wouldn't she be absolutely electric? You talk about not having an inner voice on Traitors with someone who loves, like, wants strategy and gameplay and has been on reality TV before. She might be my number one overall candidate in the world that needs to go on Traitors.
Okay, I just Googled this. I don't know if this is legit or not, but yeah, I do see Francesca Farrago on, yeah, she's on here. She's on OnlyFans.
Okay.
Yep. At least there is a Francesca Farrago page on OnlyFans. So yeah, there's that. Back to your question. Yeah, 100%. I think she would crush Trainers, any type of game show. I think her overarching theme of saying, like, hey, this TV was boring, I'm going to make it good. I'm a competitor. Yeah. I'm smart. I can, you know, she can play 8,000 different angles. She could be 8,000 different personalities based on what she needs to, given the show. So I feel like you put her on any form of TV, and she's going to draw eyeballs. She's going to increase her overall business.
Now, as electric as she was, and maybe some of the stuff so not relatable for some of our listeners, I have to give these two points that she talked about that I think are relatable.
Okay.
She talked about how when she went on Perfect Match and it was bad. She called it, she had to do career jujitsu at the end of it to try and figure out how to, you know, maintain her reputation and her presence. She talked about how she was responding to a lot of the haters and commenters and, you know, almost taking accountability and agreeing with them. I think it was either her or you talked about diffusing instead of being defensive. You know, do you have experience in those situations? And in the business world, how can you, you know, diffuse instead of being defensive to maybe help save face or getting back in the good graces if, you know, you find yourself in that situation?
It's a great question, David. So in my book, Talk Money to Me, everyone go pre-order it. I talk about this extensively, but I also think you could refer back to the Chris Voss episode. But the overarching theme is, like, really trying to understand where are people coming from. And I love something that I heard recently, just don't cater to the hater. But the idea is like when people are showing and judging hate, they're usually having external longing. They see something they wish they had, or they have resentment about themselves and they see it in you. So it's usually into them issue. And when you diffuse it with just positivity and love, almost every hater will fold to it. So that's one. The other one in business that I think is hard selling is not my style and nothing I'll do. And I think in general, when someone's willing to walk away, like the old adage, you are more likely to do business with them because they are not dying for your business. They don't need your business. If they get your business, that's great. But when you're not dying and pushing and thirsty and yelling for someone's business, they can feel that energy. And that creates trust. And I think that allows the walls to come down, if that makes sense. So, you know, I talk about it sometimes when I pitch new clients for the agency. I'm like, listen, I want to work with you. I would love to work with you. Other than distributions, I haven't taken any money out of this company for myself yet. So, and the distributions are only for tax, covering tax liability. So this isn't a company that I have that's like, I need for cash flow. It's a company I'm building for a long-term plan. And so I'd love to have you on board, but like, if you don't want to work with us, I understand. And here's why you shouldn't. Here's maybe why someone else might be a good fit. And that whole idea of not being like, you got to be with me. It allows people to like, let their guard down and just be open. And when they're open, they're vulnerable. When they're vulnerable, they're honest. That creates connection and creates a longer lasting relationship than like just a hard pushing sell.
That's great. That's a great trading secret you just shared about Rewired and how you manage it. I didn't know that. So look at me learning something new today too. The last question that I have, and maybe some other examples and that you can share on this is, you know, she's learning the hard way about the home renovation that she's having. An astounding $830,000 quoted for the renovation. She sees that big number. She goes, okay, that's a lot of money. I'm going to control it. I'm going to be in charge of it. Instead of hiring a project manager, now she's already up to $1.4 million spent on the renovation. I just thought that was such an interesting takeaway. Maybe so many times in our personal lives, we try and stretch ourselves so thin to try and save money. It ends up costing us a ton of money in the end. Are there situations that you have in your life where you're like, man, you just want to do it all, but in the end you're costing yourself time and money and probably a lot of stress too.
Honestly, like I think I've learned so much in the past few years, whether it's managing my own finances, whether it's the accounting, whether it's planning, like you have to take things off your table. Like the things that you just can't do best, you have to outsource. That's one. But I also think like contracts. I talk about this in the book so often. If you own assets with someone else, you need a contract. If you have an interpersonal loan with someone else, you need a contract. When you're working with these GCs or you're working with places where pricing should fluctuate, you have to have predisposed agreements so this stuff can't happen. You know what I mean? And I think that was part of the issue here is that when you're proactive with costs and expectations and then you're agreeing to those in a contractual manner, it holds people accountable to those. And it sounds like that's not what happened here. So overplan, and then you'll be in a better position for what happens and how it happens. And I feel so bad for Francesca for this scenario because it sounds like an absolute nightmare. And it sounds like because she didn't protect herself, she's stuck between a rock and a hard place and has no form of leverage, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, it is pretty scary. But all in all, you know, she's crushing it. She's doing good. I know her. If I know her, she's going to take this as a learning lesson. She's going to come back. She's going to be better. Francesca is exactly why Trading Secrets needs to go 2 episodes a week, because whether you knew who she was or maybe you can't relate how she is entertaining and she shared a ton of numbers with us. She did share a lot of knowledge. She was unapologetically herself. I just can't imagine your jaw on the floor when she said she doesn't have an American debit card, when she's talking about how she started her Instagram by doing it as an FU to her controlling ex. She's now launching a swimwear line. She's not taking other people's money. She's 100% equity in that. She's absolutely killing it. I was, you know, like I said, I was thoroughly entertained the whole time. It sounded like from the interview you were too. I want to wish her the best of luck on her IVF journey. And if she ever does get her own show, it'll be well deserved.
Perfectly said, David. So many things to cover there. The bottle service, the brand deals, you know, never going to the ATM when they're sober because they want more. From hilarity to intelligence, from street smarts to book smarts and everything in between. That's a wild episode of Trading Secrets. And I think if someone said to me, why do people come on your show years later and you still get crazy downloads, even if like it's not like they just got off the show, it's because these are interviews they've never, ever, ever had before. So remember, guys, give us 5 stars. Please, please go grab a copy of Talk Money to Me, and we will see you next week for another episode of Trading Secrets, one you can't afford to miss.